this week we are continuing on with our series, God Dreamed a Dream Worth Living. This is part two of God Dreamed a Dream Worth Living. And in part one, we talked about how God, his whole motivation and behind this dream is love. He loves us. He wants to love us. He created us because he loves us. And everything that he is doing is from love. Any other idea to the contrary that says that he's angry or that he's upset or that, you know, all these other things, if you have any of those ideas, we need to release those because God's only motivation is love. It's why he's created us, it's why we're here, and it's all a part of his great plan, and that's why his dream that he created, dream for us, is worth living. Now, in this part today, I want to talk about the how God makes this happen. He has given us a choice, and so we have to make a choice and decide which way we're going to live our life. Now, God gave us a choice in this dream because he didn't want us just to be like automatons or robots. If we were like that, then we wouldn't be able to love back. And so he had to give us free will and choice. And so he gave us these two different choices. And this is what we're going to talk about today. The two choices, what the two choices mean, and how the two choices affect you. And by the time I'm finished today, I'm hoping that you're going to choose one of the two. But you won't choose them both because you can't choose them both. And you'll learn that as we go along. And so we're going to be clarifying this. And this is extremely important that you understand what the two choices are, how they affect your life, and then you make your choice of which one you want to do. Now, what we're talking about today is we're talking about the law versus faith. These are our two choices that we have. We can either choose to live under the law. Now, if we go back to the Garden of Eden and talk about this, you might get a better idea of what I'm talking about. But in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. You might remember this. There was one tree called the knowledge of good and evil. And then there was another tree called the tree of life. And see, God created this from the very beginning. He created these two choices for us. So here we have these two different choices. Now, God said, this is the better way. Go with the tree of life. But if you remember, Adam decided, hey, I want to try out this other one. There's this thing, you know, this knowledge of good and evil. What is that? And that's really us choosing to do it our own way. That's us choosing to go on our own. The tree of life is when we rely on God and we trust God to provide everything for us. Now remember, the Garden of Eden had everything that we needed, meaning God was already providing for Adam. He never had any shortage. He never had any lack. He never had any need. God was continuously providing on all levels for him. And he was receiving it. And life was good. And life was easy. And it was a piece of cake for him, enjoying that. But then suddenly, he started thinking, what happens if I do it myself? What if I go on my own? I could do this myself, is what he started to feel. And this is when we step into the knowledge of good and evil. Now, let's clarify what exactly the knowledge of good and evil is. Now, think about it. Okay, we're talking about knowledge. So it's information, and it's information about good and evil. It's information about right and wrong. It's information about what works and what doesn't work. What does that remind you of? Does that kind of click any bells as I'm talking about right and wrong? It starts talking about the laws. Ten Commandments. It starts talking about the Ten Commandments, the laws that God passed down. There's a lot more than ten, but we can kind of picture those big stone tablets and we go, oh, yeah, Ten Commandments. That's right. Charlton Heston brought those down the hill. No, it was Moses, but I think more people picture Charlton Heston nowadays. So when we start talking about the knowledge of good and evil, we are talking about the commandments that are the laws. And the minute we start stepping into the laws, now it is about us having to know what is right and what is wrong. And suddenly it comes around to being everything that you're going to do. It's about you doing it now. It's about you getting it right. And you have to get them all right. Because when we talk about the laws or the commandments, there's not a point system where one law is worth more than another, and if you keep that one, you get extra brownie points or stars or something like that. And if you don't keep this one, it's okay because it's only worth a couple of stars anyway. God doesn't have a point system for the laws. They're all equal. And what he said is we have to keep them all, or else we fail. So it's either an all or nothing thing. So when we step into or we choose the way of life of the knowledge of good and evil, we choose to live under laws, we're always continuously working. We did a Bible study on Thursday that was talking about this, and one of the images that I love that God gave to Emily was, it's like being on a treadmill. If you choose the way of the law, you're going to be continuously walking or running, and you could run and run and run and run forever and never get anywhere, never get finished, never fulfill them. You see, the problem with living under the laws is that we're not perfect, meaning that at some point we're going to make a mistake. At some point we're going to come up short. At some point we're going to get one of them wrong. And like I said, it's either an all or nothing. If we don't get them all right, then we've got them all wrong. You know, have you ever had that where it's a test, it's either a pass or fail? There's no in between. And on this test, we've got to be 100% right or we're 100% wrong. And the problem is, none of us is perfect. And as a result of that, none of us can get them all right, which means we're always wrong. Under that choice of the law means that we're always going to be feeling condemned. We're always going to be feeling bad. We're always going to be feeling guilty. We're always going to be feeling not good enough. Have you felt like that before? Feel like, oh, I just haven't done enough. Oh, I just can't get it done. Why am I so miserable? Why can't I do more? What is wrong with me? That is what being under the law is. That is the knowledge of good and evil. See, God didn't want us to feel condemned and guilty. He said, don't eat from that. Don't go over there. Why? Because he knew that it was miserable over there. And it was a lot of work. Because you never get off the treadmill. That's the other thing, is there's always another law. There's always another step. There's always something else you have to do. And none of us can make it 100%. I remember when I was in high school, I was in this mathematics class. And one of the things was, I never used to be good in mathematics in elementary school, but when I got to this one particular class, it all just started clicking. I think it was like trigonometry or something. When everybody else is struggling, suddenly my brain clicks in and I'm going, oh yeah, this is easy. And so in this class, continuously, they would test us. Every week there was a test coming up in this class, and I was doing pretty good. At the end of the year, I averaged about 96%, which is a pretty good average, but in terms of if that was under the law of the knowledge of good and evil, that is still considered a failing mark. 96% is a failing mark under the law because we have to get them all right or we get them all wrong. And it's a lot of work. It is us, and it's always dependent on us being able to do it right. I could not do it right all the time in that class, even though the class seemed very easy to me. I could not do it right all the time. There was always a day where I was maybe a little bit tired. Maybe I hadn't studied enough. Maybe I hadn't paid enough attention in the class when the teacher was talking about that particular problem. And then I did that test and I didn't get the 100%. You know, and there were days where I did get 100%. But the problem is, with the law of knowledge of good and evil, you got to get 100% every single time, every single day. And that's a lot of pressure and a lot of work. The good news is there's another choice where we can be under faith, meaning that now we're not trusting in what we're doing, we're trusting in what God is doing. And this is where Adam was when he first went into the Garden of Eden. He was trusting in what God was going to do. The great thing is, God always does everything right. God gets it right 100% of the time. And this really now has all kinds of benefits. When we start relying and trusting on God, now instead of feeling condemned, there is a gift of forgiveness. We receive a gift of righteousness, that now we are right. Even when we make mistakes, if we're trusting in God, we now have righteousness. Think about that. That's kind of a good thing. That means that even if on one of those tests I'd made a mistake, God would have marked it up to 100%. That's kind of cool, knowing that. Knowing that with God, he always keeps his promises and he always gets it right. And when we get into the choice of faith, which is choosing the tree of life, when we are choosing that tree, now we are receiving blessings. We are receiving abundance. And life becomes easy because we know what we need to do. We have the favor of God upon us. Meaning that even when maybe you've made the wrong choices, God will direct it and turn it all around and make it right. You know, there was a man in the Bible who walked by faith long before the laws were ever given. His name was Abraham. Abraham didn't have the laws hanging over his head. He didn't know about the Ten Commandments. He walked before them. And so they say that Abraham walked by faith, meaning that he believed in God. He believed the promises of God, and he trusted God. And as a result, he wasn't worried every day trying to get everything right. He wasn't, you know, under that kind of condemnation and guilt and fear. Instead, he was just walking and talking with God, listening to what God was saying. God would give him guidance and say, go to this country, leave your father's house, and I'm going to take you to this promised land. So Abraham was like, oh, okay. And along the way, sometimes Abraham made mistakes. But you know, his mistakes was not a bad thing. Usually he came out being blessed, even in spite of his mistakes, because he was walking in the promises of God, in faith. So God's favor and blessing was upon him. One of the examples was when there was a famine in the land, he decided to go down to Egypt. So he took his whole family and all their animals and everything down to Egypt. And when he started getting close, he started getting worried. Because he was thinking, uh-oh, Pharaoh might see Sarah, my wife, and think, I want to have her as a wife. But because I'm married to her, he's probably going to kill me so he can take her. You have to remember, Sarah's 65 years old here. But aging and our looks are improved when we're under faith and under the blessing of God. We can look radiant and beautiful and young no matter what the age is. Because think about it, Pharaoh could have chose from any woman in the land, probably any woman in the world he could have chose. But here, Abraham is worried about his wife. And sure enough, they come into the land, and one of Pharaoh's men sees Sarah, and they say, I think Pharaoh needs to take a look at her. But what Abraham and Sarah had decided is they decided they would lie. They decided, we're going to say that you're my sister. They're not going to tell that she's the wife. And so Pharaoh, you know, says, hey, who's this girl? Oh, she's my sister, Abraham says. Okay, I want to take her as my wife. And he takes her back to the palace. And he gives Abraham all these animals. He gives him all this gold. He gives him all this silver, this great dowry he now has, incredible abundance he has received. And luckily, God kept Pharaoh away from Sarah and plagued him. And he woke up in the middle of the night all stressed and sick. And he was tormented. He said, what's going on? What's wrong with me? And God said, you've taken some other man's wife. He goes, what are you talking about? He said, it was the sister. No, it's the wife. So you said, you got to restore him back. You got to take Sarah back to Abraham and restore this, or your whole house is going to be plagued. So Pharaoh did this. Now, what happened with Abraham? Abraham received his wife back. He received all of the gold, the silver, and the animals, and he walked out of Egypt a richer man, many times richer, even though he lied. We know that one of the commandments is thou shalt not lie, but see, Abraham was not under the law. He was under faith. And when you're under faith, you're under the blessing of God. You're under the favor of God. Even when you come up short, you make a mistake, you make a decision that's not right, God will still bless you. God will still bring more blessing upon your household. It's a completely different way. We can choose to live under the law, where we're always having to strive to be 100%, where we're always being condemned, where we're always never good enough. We're never going to be good enough on our own. We can't make the blessing. We can't make ourselves righteous on our own. We can't get our forgiveness through all the work we do. Even if we do all those laws, there's always another law. But yet, when we're under the blessing of God, when we're walking in faith and trusting Him to do it, He will get it all right all the time. And even when our shortcomings get in the way, He will turn it all around and still bring a blessing into our household. He will still bring it. But we have to know which side, which choice are we making? Now, of course, there are people who live in the world who don't follow the laws of God, but they also don't trust in God. They just kind of do their own thing. They're kind of just making their own decisions and going where they want to go. They're still living under the law because there's still something inside of them that decides what's right or what's wrong. It may not be in alignment with God. But I want to talk about the people that are trying to live under the law because they're still under the knowledge of good and evil. And we can't mix these two things together. We can't have both faith in God and live under the law. We can't have these together. These two trees in the Garden of Eden weren't one tree. They were two separate trees. And you can either go one way, you can take the wide path, or you can take the narrow path. You know, you cannot take both paths. And this is what God needs us to understand, because there's a big misunderstanding today where people, they start to mix. They try to both trust in God, have faith in God. And when I say have faith in God today, we're talking about trusting in Jesus. We're trusting in the finished works of Jesus. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. But I just want to let you know that that's what we're talking about. The finished works of Jesus is when we're having faith. We're saying, I believe that God did this, and I'm walking in this way, and I am walking with him. Same way as Abraham was walking with God and letting the Spirit of God lead him, you're walking with God and you're letting the Spirit lead you. But some people are trying to mix in also the laws. They're also trying to do and keep all these different laws as well, and they're mixing them together. You can't trust in yourself, which is trusting in the law, because it's all about you, and trust in God. It has to be one or the other. Are you trusting fully in God to provide for you, or are you trusting in yourself to provide for you? Are you trusting fully that God has brought prosperity and blessing, and that he will always make your way right and your life great? Or are you trusting in your own way, that you're going to make your life great, that you're going to make it happen? These are the two choices that we have, and we can't mix them together. When we mix them, this is what it talks about in the scripture when we mix them. In Revelations 3, verse 15, I know your works. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will spit you out. I'm going to reject you, is what he's saying. I'm going to reject you. So this is God speaking here. He said, I'm going to reject you if you're just lukewarm. Now, cold, you think about those stone tablets and you think about the law. There's no love in the law. It's cold. If you're either right or you're wrong. It's either good or bad. It's cut and dry over there. So that's cold. There's no heart there. Or you can be under faith. Also under grace is another way to say that. And that means the love of God. And that is where the warmth is. That's the hot. When you're under the love of God, it's warm. It's a blessing. It's like the sun is shining on you all the time, and you're like, oh, this feels really good. This is so nice. And that's the difference. The cold is the law. The hot is the love of God, the grace of God, the trusting in God. And he's saying, if you mix those two together, if you're lukewarm, if you're neither cold nor hot, it's better if you just choose to be cold. If you just choose to live by the law alone, don't trust in God to make your needs, but just do all the things yourself, do all the laws yourself. It's better than to mix these two together. When we start mixing them together, we're lukewarm. He doesn't want that. He's going to reject us totally and completely. So we have to know, what kind of person am I? How am I going to live? Am I going to live trusting in the law, where there's always something else to do, and I'm going to be like on a treadmill and running and running and running and never get there? Because like I said, nobody's ever perfect. Nobody ever gets it all done, and it's either a pass or fail. Or am I going to choose to live by faith, trust in the grace of God, the goodness of God, to supply all my needs, to provide everything? Now, you might be asking, well, why did God send the law then? Because he gave the law to Moses. Why did he give the law to Moses? What is the purpose of the law if we can never fulfill it? If we can never get it all done or get it all right? Why did he give it to Moses? Because at the time, if you remember, the Israelites had just come out of the land of Egypt by great miracles. wonders and miracles God had just provided for them in so many ways. 10 plagues he provided so that the Egyptians would let them go. That was unbelievable, amazing, miraculous, supernatural work that God was doing to deliver them out of there. And that was all just trusting in the power of God, having faith in God. But now they get out into the desert, and the people start getting, they let that go to their head a little bit, and they start saying, we can do whatever you ask us to do, God. Whatever you ask us to do, we can do it. Really? You can do everything? Okay. God said, okay, if you want to do it that way. See, they were choosing, we're going to do it all ourselves. You just show us what to do, we're going to do it. We don't need you providing supernatural miracles. Why do we need that? We can do this stuff ourselves. Same thing Adam said in the Garden of Eden. Why do I need God to provide this whole paradise for me and have all this food and have all this abundance and have everything I need? I can just do it myself. If I learn the knowledge of good and evil, I can do all this stuff. That's my choice. So this is what the Israelites said out in the desert. So God said, okay, if you want to do it yourself, that's your choice. Remember, I gave you a choice. So Moses went up there and came down with those big stone tablets. How long were they able to keep all those laws good? They didn't even, Moses didn't even get to the bottom of the mountain and they'd already messed up. They already had built this golden calf. They'd already broke one of the commandments right there. They didn't make it to the time he got to the bottom. Sometimes they're still trying, that's right. But see, that's how long we last on our own, trying to do it all right. We can't do it. But that was their choice. And now they lived under that law because that's what they wanted to do. We don't have to live under that law. In fact, once we receive Jesus into our hearts, we have to leave that behind. If we don't leave it behind, now, if we don't leave it behind, we'll be lukewarm because we'll be mixing the two together. One was the old covenant, the other is the new covenant. One was the old way, the other is the new way. We don't want to mix those two together. Jesus said, don't put new wine in old wineskins. He was talking about don't put the old way and the new way and mix them together because those wineskins will burst and you'll lose it all. He was saying don't mix it. We had the old way because it was like a tutor to us and it led us and it showed us and it kept us out of trouble until we could trust in God and have the faith in God, until God had fulfilled all the laws in Jesus. He fulfilled all those laws, and then we could receive the full and complete and fulfilled 100%, everything finished perfectly. We could receive that gift, which would give us righteousness. It was a gift of righteousness that we receive. So you're either working for it, which is under the law, or you're receiving a gift. Does it make sense that if you receive the gift of righteousness, which is receiving Jesus into your heart, that you still have to do the work? If you still have to do the work, then it's not a gift, is it? If I gave you a Ferrari, you get all excited, hey, a Ferrari. And then I tell you, every year I want you to pay me $20,000 a year for the rest of your life. Is that a gift? I just asked you to pay for it. But yet there are people that are misunderstanding that God has given a gift of righteousness through Jesus, and the same, they receive it, and then they continue to make the payments. That's like if your house was fully paid to the bank already, your mortgage is already paid off, but you keep sending in the mortgage payment. It doesn't make sense. And this is the misunderstanding that we have. And as a result of that, people that believe in God and walk by faith are troubled and they're plagued and they're condemned and they're feeling like life is so hard. And they're wondering, where are the miracles and the blessing that God is talking about? You don't get them if you mix it two together because it nullifies. It nullifies each other. So they're no good. They're lukewarm. The power, supernatural power and blessing of God can't come into your life. This is the grave misunderstanding that people have. We got to clean it out, take out that law of doing and all about me and what I'm going to do. And remember, it's all about Jesus and what he did. It is full and complete and done and perfect. And it's a gift that God has given to me, meaning I don't have to work for it now. And now, in my heart, the laws are written in my heart, meaning I am led by the Spirit of God. He guides me and teaches me. The same way Abraham was walking before the laws. Abraham was receiving incredible abundance. God blessed him, even if he made a mistake. God gave him favor wherever he went, and he grew wealthy. He grew abundant, and he was blessed. And this is the same way when we receive that gift of righteousness, we are no longer under condemnation. We are now walking in faith. And that's when now the blessings and the supernatural miracles of God begin to take place in your life. That's when you can now receive the prosperity and the provision. But we have to divide the two. We have to look and see what is the old way and what is the new way. Because if we mix them, they're nullified, they're useless, and you're going to be miserable. You're going to be very miserable, and you're going to feel like you're never good enough because you're still living under that law. We have to step out of that. Remember, Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't come to destroy it, he said. He came to fulfill it. And what he did in fulfilling it is he did it all perfectly, and then he gave you that gift. Let me read this from Galatians. We've been studying Galatians 3, and this is verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So we're under a curse if we're working, meaning we're doing everything trying to fulfill the laws, we're under a curse. And we're cursed because we never get done. There is always, isn't that miserable when there's more always coming, more, and it never seems like it's ever going to finish? When I was a boy growing up on the farm, you know, one of the things that I remember doing was baling hay. And basically, I don't know if you know what a baler is, but I'll try to describe it. It gathers up hay from the ground and puts it into like a square or kind of a rectangle, and it comes out the back and like with tied by ropes. And then I would stack these little bales up. And after a while, you'd get a kind of a little pyramid shape of them, and you'd dump them off in the field to pick them up later. And so as I was working in the field, this baler kept spitting out another bale and another bale. And another bale. It's like, I just get one done and there'll be another one. What? I'm going to put that one down and another one. And I get put that and another one. And it seemed like all day it was never going to end. There was always another bale. And we'd get done that field and I'd think, oh, thank goodness, I'm finished. There'd be another field over there. And there were more to do. I was exhausted and I was tired. And yet there was always another bale coming out of this baler. That's the same way it is with the law. Remember there was this story? A rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what do I need to do to get into heaven? And because this guy was living under the law of all the things he had to do, see, you can even tell by asking his question, what do I got to do? Jesus said, well, you know the commandments? And he went down all the commandments, he knew them all, and said, yeah. And he said, well, you have to keep those. And he very arrogantly said, well, you know, I've kept all of those since I was a child. I kept every single one of those. And what did Jesus say? He said, oh, there's one more thing. See, there's always one more thing you have to keep. And this time he says, one more thing. You have to sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. There's always one more thing. And he couldn't do that because he loved what he had. And he was like, oh, his face drooped and he went home and he was all depressed. Because there's always one more thing, like those bales coming out. There was always one more coming out. We can't live under the law like that because we never get it done. But on the blessing of God, and living in faith, it's already fulfilled. You can receive that gift of completion, of righteousness, meaning you are right. You are right exactly how you are right now if you've received Jesus. And His Spirit will be leading you in the right way. And He'll be leading your life in the right way that you'll start to receive the blessing and supernatural provision, that you'll receive abundance, that you'll be healthy and strong by letting yourself be led by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. These are our two choices. we've got to make a very clear distinction. If you have mixed these at all, if you kind of see yourself that sometimes you're over here and then you're over there, what do I got to do? Oh, I got to trust in God, you know, then you remember, oh yeah, God's provided all everything for me. We want to make sure we got a clear, separate distinction. Make a choice. You're going to walk on one path or the other. You're not walking on the wide path and the narrow path. It's one or the other. And when you receive Jesus into your heart, know that I am now righteous because I've received a gift. I don't have to pay for it. I don't have to go back and do a bunch of things because I've received that gift full and complete and paid for, and I receive it into my heart.